This evening we'll be looking at Lord's Day 20, and you can find that on page 880 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnals. Lord's Day 20, page 880. I'll read this question, and we can all respond together with the answer. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that He is given also to me, so that through true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Tonight we'll be looking at John 14. And once we read John 14, we'll take a look at some verses from John 15 and then John 16. These three chapters in the Gospel of John are the chapters on the Holy Spirit, describing the Spirit coming and the work that the Spirit is going to accomplish. John 14, we'll begin reading with verse 15, but before we do so, let's ask God for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, please give us Your Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight. O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 14, beginning with verse 15. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. You loved me, and you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here. And now John chapter 15, beginning with verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, chapter 16, I'll begin reading. I'll begin reading at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Most Christians today are well informed about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Most also know that he is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. They know about God the Father. But what about God the Holy Spirit? Just saying that God the Holy Spirit, or hearing that phrase, might strike us as out of the ordinary. Kevin DeYoung writes, "It is often true. Traditional conservative Christians know too little about and cherish too lightly the person and work of the Holy Spirit." J.I. Packer adds to that when he writes, "The average Christian is in a complete fog as to what work the Holy Spirit does." And this isn't a recent concern, because Paul, when he first arrived at Ephesus in Acts 19, the Ephesians stated, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Neither the Westminster Confession of Faith nor the Westminster Catechism have a separate section on the Holy Spirit. Now, the truths about the Holy Spirit are covered under the discussion of the Trinity and sanctification. But if you're ever in a discussion with your Presbyterian friend about the Heidelberg versus the Westminster, you can just point out the fact that at least we have one question and answer on the Holy Spirit. Now, before we go any further with this criticism, we also need to remember that even the New Testament itself teaches and says more to us about Jesus Christ and God the Father than it does about the Holy Spirit. Some theologians have described the Holy Spirit as the unknown member of the Trinity. J.I. Packer explains the Holy Spirit as the shy member of the Trinity. And as we look at our passages this evening, they are the main passages describing the Holy Spirit being sent and the work that he is going to do. And as we look at John 16, verse 14, Jesus says, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. And so we see from that it is the job of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ, to shine the spotlight on Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus Christ. And this is probably why we rarely think about the work of the Holy Spirit, that the work that the Holy Spirit is constantly doing, because if the Holy Spirit is doing His job, highlighting Jesus Christ and directing our attention to Jesus Christ, we're going to be thinking about Christ. And behind the scenes, the Spirit is doing His work, applying all the benefits of Christ to us personally. The work of God as God the Father is creator. The work that Jesus Christ does is as the Redeemer. That's in the front of our minds. And behind the scenes, doing what He's always been doing and always will be doing, is God the Holy Spirit. This evening, we're focusing in on the work, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Who the Spirit is, first of all, the person. And what the Holy Spirit does, secondly, the work. And so first, who the Holy Spirit is. The Catechism answers the question, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit, by stating, first, the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. And so the first thing that we are taught when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is God. And we see that in our passage this evening. John 14, verse 16 through 17, we have a Trinitarian moment. It's Jesus asking the Father to send the Spirit. What does it say? Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, verse 16, and He will give you another helper, Parakleton, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells in you and will be in you. And so the Holy Spirit is God, a divine person, and the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. You can think of the way the Athanasian Creed states it. The divinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one. Glory equal. Majesty co-eternal. Thus, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Yet there are not three gods, but there is one God. When Jesus comforts His disciple by telling them that He will send another helper, He doesn't mean that He's sending a different kind of helper, different from Himself. It's going to be the same kind of helper as Himself. So you have the divine person of the Holy Spirit taking the place of the divine person, Jesus Christ. It's better that I go, Jesus tells His disciples, so that I can send the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son is God. And the Spirit is God. One God in three persons. The Holy Spirit is a person, teaching, speaking, interceding, grieving, distinct from the Father and the Son. Now it's important for us to take a moment to think about what that means exactly. The importance of the personhood of the Holy Spirit can't be overstated. And here's why. The alternative to seeing the Holy Spirit as a person, third person of the Trinity, the alternative to that way of thinking is thinking about the Spirit as some kind of impersonal force or power. Or that the Spirit is in everything and is everything in almost a pantheistic sort of way. Many Christians think in this way. They have a desire to get more of the Spirit in the same way you get more from an electrical outlet once you plug in. Tap into the Spirit's power. They speak of of a plugging into the Spirit, they emphasize spiritual techniques or experiences that will enable them to tap into the Spirit's power more and more. And what we're seeing here this evening is that the Spirit isn't just some force, isn't just a mere power. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. Not an impersonal force. Not a principle or a power of nature or even just a mode of God's existence, but rather the Spirit is eternal God. James Montgomery Boyce explains, if we think of the Holy Spirit as a mysterious power, our thought will continually be, how can I get more of the Spirit? How can I get more of the Holy Spirit? If we think of the Holy Spirit as a person, our thought will be, how can this Holy Spirit have more of me? The first thought is entirely pagan. The second is New Testament Christianity. As we think about, learn, consider the person of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, we see that He is God. He is a person, one of the three persons of the Trinity. And next we see that the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Holy Son, and the Son. As Jesus is comforting His disciples, in our passage this evening, He makes another statement about the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. So you have Jesus asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Nicene Creed explains. See that in chapter 14, 16 and 17, it's the Son asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. You see it in John 15 as well. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So it's Jesus sending you the Spirit from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. Holy Spirit is God. He's a person. Proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is another helper, as Jesus puts it. A counselor, a paraclete, parakleton. The Greek word is parakleton. Four times in our passages this evening, in John, the Spirit is described as the helper. You have John 14, verse 16, and He will give you another helper. 14, verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. John 15, verse 26, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. John 16, verse 7, if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And so here we have Jesus naming, describing the Holy Spirit as helper. And the idea behind this is that the Holy Spirit is the one who is helping, comforting, counseling. Parakletos, he is our advocate, counselor in the sense that He is advocating for us, coming alongside us, supporting us, comforting us, encouraging, giving protection, help, and security. Comfort in the sense of reassurance. And this is who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person proceeding from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And that brings us to our second point this evening, what the Spirit does. It's not only the person of the Holy Spirit, but also the work. The Catechism states, second, that He is given also to me, so that through true faith, He makes me share in Christ and all of His benefits. Now notice here, that the Holy Spirit has been given to you personally through faith. Note the words "by faith" in the question and answer. He is given also to me so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts, and will reign with me forever. True faith. The Spirit is not working and applying the blessings of Christ apart from believing in Christ. The benefits are ours, are only ours, through faith. It is by trusting in Christ, resting in Christ, depending solely on Christ, that the Holy Spirit is then at work within us. I also want to point out that in our question and answer this evening, our perspective is really focused in on you personally and what the Holy Spirit is accomplishing in you personally. But just for a moment, I want to zoom our perspective off of you and take the 30,000-foot view, and then we'll zoom in once again. So as we zoom out, throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the presence and perfecter of God's works. The Holy Spirit makes what God is doing happen, makes the Word of God effective. What do I mean? We go all the way to Genesis chapter 1. The earth is formless and empty. The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And what we know about the Spirit of God is that He is the one who makes the Word of God effective. God speaks His Word, and the Spirit makes God's Word effective. God the Father says, "Let there be." And it's the Spirit who made that effective. Not only back then with the initial act of creating all things out of nothing, but it is still the Spirit making God's Word effective even today. When we speak of the Spirit at work, we believe that the Holy Spirit is generally at work in every aspect of creation, still fulfilling that original "let there be" command of the Word of God. General revelation. In a general sense, it is the Spirit who is bringing life. The Spirit of God is active and bringing about all of life. Not only in creation, but us too as part of creation. Think about Genesis 2 verse 7. Adam is formed from the dust of the ground, the dirt. And then what happens next? God breathed His Spirit into him, and he became a living being. And what happens when the Spirit of God leaves us? From dust you are, to dust you shall return. Job 34, if it were His intention, and He withdrew His Spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together, and man would return to dust. And so from that big general perspective, the Spirit is the one who gives and sustains, guides life in general. But in an even more specific way, He is at work in us, making us into a new creation, a special revelation style, taking God's Word and applying it to us specifically. As we look at these chapters here in John, we learn a lot about what the Spirit is doing. Christ is sending the Spirit, not only as the helper and comforter, but one of the goals, one of the missions that we see happening here in John is that the Spirit is not only witnessing about Christ, but enabling us as followers to witness about Christ. Think of the Great Commission. Spreading the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit giving them the words to say. Now, let's bring things home and apply it personally to each of you. What does the Spirit do for you personally through faith? The Catechism mentions three benefits that we experience through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is given also to me so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. He makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. And so the first thing that the Spirit is doing for you personally through faith in Jesus Christ is making you share all of the benefits of Christ. So all that Christ has accomplished for your salvation is applied to you by the Holy Spirit. Think about Galatians 3, verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. John 16, 7 through 15. Jesus didn't tell these things to his disciples early on. Oh, this was the part I was debating about reading initially. John 16, verse 4. I did not say these things to you from the beginning. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Jesus is going to the Father. And so he's preparing them for his departure. I didn't talk about this before because I'm still here. But now I'm getting ready to go. And so I'm preparing you for what's going to happen next. And Jesus insists. He tells his disciples that it is to their advantage that he leaves. Because if I go, I will send a helper to you. Verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It is better for you that I leave. Because if I don't go away, then I'm not going to send the helper, Parakletos. I'm not going to send the Spirit. But if I do go, I will send him to you. Now, as we think about what this means for us today, sometimes it might be tempting for us to think that it'd be better to have Jesus physically with us right now. Or that the disciples had some kind of advantage because they had Jesus with them. They have an advantage over us in some way. But if we start thinking about that, if we start thinking in that way, we overlook and ignore the enormous blessing that has come through Christ's ascension and exaltation to the right hand of God the Father. The choice isn't between Christ being present with us or Christ being absent. But rather, the choice is between Christ present in body or Christ present in the Holy Spirit. And the latter is far better. Jesus said, because it is through the Spirit that we share in Christ and all his benefits. Now, as soon as I say the word benefit, it should trigger your mind to think of all the various questions and answers that have been asked about what benefit is it to you? How is the holy conception and birth a benefit to you? All the way back to verse 36. Think about how does the fact that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit a benefit to you? How does Christ's resurrection benefit us? What further benefit do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross? That's question and answer 43. How does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? How does the glory of Christ our head benefit us? How does Christ's return to judge the living and the dead comfort you, benefit you? And here, as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, what we're learning is that it is the Holy Spirit who makes you share in Christ and all of these benefits of his salvation that's been accomplished. The ongoing everyday work of the Holy Spirit, yes, is to glorify, highlight Jesus Christ, and so we forget about the Holy Spirit. But everything that Christ has accomplished, your justification, your salvation, your sanctification, your glorification, is being applied to you personally by the Holy Spirit. You share in Christ and all His benefits, but it doesn't end there, because the Catechism goes on to explain that by faith you have this Holy Spirit making you share in Christ and all His benefits, and also comforting you. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? That through faith the Holy Spirit makes me share in Christ and all His benefits. Through faith, the Holy Spirit comforts me. Now, what do you think of when you think of comfort? That should throw us all the way back to question and answer one. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And what is the third section of question and answer one? Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. And now we're expanding on that with question and answer 53 to see that by the Holy Spirit that's given to us, we receive this comfort, the work of the Holy Spirit in you, who is dwelling in you, living in you, third person of the Trinity, is there to comfort you. Now, most of us have probably heard the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, described as the comforter. And that's back to that Greek word parakletos. Certain translations, King James Version and others, translate that as comforter. Our ESVs translate that Greek word as helper. The NIVs translate it as counselor. The NRSV translates it as advocate. Now, the truth behind all of these translations is that God comforts His people by the Holy Spirit. John 15, verse 26, but when the Helper, Parakleton, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so Jesus names the Holy Spirit the Helper, the Comforter, the one who is called to our side with empowering help, the one who calls out to us on Christ's behalf, witnesses to us about Christ as we witness about Christ to others, and the one who comforts us as we do so. Makes you share in Christ and all His benefits. Comforts you. And third and finally, you have this promise. Will remain with me forever. John 14 begins, at the very beginning of the chapter, begins with these comforting words. Jesus is comforting His disciples and He tells them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Place your faith in God. Believe also in me. And then He concludes that chapter with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. To be with you forever. Here the promise is that the Holy Spirit would remain with the disciples, with all believers forever. It's what is given, it's what gives every true believer absolute security. It's what gives every believer the comfort that you can't find anywhere else. In our day-to-day lives, This promise of the Holy Spirit probably doesn't receive much attention. I mean, how often do you catch yourself thinking, Jesus has given me the Holy Spirit to be with me forever? All the work that Christ has accomplished for our salvation, all the benefits that are yours, are applied through the Holy Spirit. So as we conclude this evening, how do we receive the Spirit? Remember that He is a person, not an impersonal force that you plug into or tap into. According to Scripture, we receive the Spirit by trusting in Jesus Christ, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul asked the Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer was, by faith alone. We then experience the Spirit's power through the Word that He inspired, which is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And finally, we receive the Spirit by asking. In His great parable on prayer, Jesus commented that even earthly fathers give good gifts to their children. How much more, Jesus went on to say, will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. That He is given also to me, so that through true faith, He makes me share in Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before You this evening, praising You and thanking You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. Praising You for the gift that has been poured out onto us. Through true faith, we share in Christ and all His benefits because of the Holy Spirit. Through true faith, we are comforted because of the Holy Spirit. And through true faith, we know that the Spirit will remain with us forever. Lord, help us to live our lives in light of this glorious truth, in light of the Spirit that You have given to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.